Maybe we're not headed for a trade war after all. At least markets don't think so. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Markets are surging this morning. The Dow is up 470 points. That's 2%. The S&P is up 1.7%. The NASDAQ is up more than 2%. This is all an apparent response to news over the weekend that the U.S. and China have entered into talks to resolve differences over trade. Last week, markets had dropped sharply after the Trump administration imposed up to $60 billion worth of tariffs and investment limits on China. The Wall Street Journal reports that in weekend talks, the U.S. has made detailed requests, including a reduction of Chinese tariffs on U.S. cars and greater access to China's financial sector for American companies. The Financial Times adding that Beijing is offering to purchase more American semiconductors. We are also learning that South Korea has become the first U.S. ally to win exemption from massive U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. It's the third largest source of steel for the U.S. With us to talk about how Wall Street is handling all this news, we have Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So markets seem relieved, to put it mildly, at the news on trade.
Yes, we are going to be on a roller coaster ride probably for a while, but the news was good this morning with administration officials assuring us that they are already at the bargaining table with the Chinese. And we're regaining a little bit of what we lost last week, but we did lose a lot. So it's pretty much still just bouncing around on all the uncertainty around trade policy.
You know, part of the uncertainty that we've experienced over the past year has come, I think, from the fact that many of the Trump administration's policies have pointed in different directions from a macroeconomic perspective. I wonder, is there any other macroeconomic surprise from a policy perspective that might pop up in the next few years?
Yeah, I'm not sure we're in store for big policy surprises from a market standpoint. From a macroeconomic standpoint, we are watching immigration policy because that matters for how much and how fast the economy can grow. It also matters for the trade deficit. You have things like education and health services that we export a lot of. If that gets harder, that actually goes the other way on the trade deficit and reduces an area of strength.
All right. Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
March Madness, the college men's basketball tournament, continues this week ahead of the Final Four on Saturday. And that means the betting in your office pool is probably getting more intense. The American Gaming Association estimates that Americans will bet $10 billion on the tournament. By the way, much of it is illegal. In fact, sports betting is illegal in most U.S. states. But a Supreme Court case could change that. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
It's hard to say exactly how much money is spent on illegal sports bets every year. The American Gaming Association puts it at $150 billion. What is clear? States want a piece of that pool, so they can tax it. Thomas Cook teaches at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business.
This is so much untapped revenue that the states are losing.
More than a dozen states, including New York and West Virginia, have proposed laws to legalize sports gambling. But a 1992 federal law confining it, mostly to Nevada, stands in the way. A New Jersey casino gambling case before the Supreme Court could change that. Jeremy Duru is a professor at American University's Washington College of Law.
If New Jersey wins the case, then it would essentially open the door for these other states to become active in statewide sports betting.
The Supreme Court is expected to rule within the next few weeks. By then, you might know if your bracket is a winner. I'm Marielle Segarra from Marketplace.
Once bitten, twice shy. You know that expression? Well, one college in Texas is getting quite familiar with it. The recent slump in oil and gas has made students there wary of attending its oil and gas program, even though the industry is picking up now and bringing back jobs to the state. Florian Martin with Houston Public Media reports.
At Lone Star College's Energy and Manufacturing Institute outside Houston, students are practicing how to set up equipment that's used in the oil field.
Put our chain.
Their instructor is Mike Branch. He says the mechatronics and machining program used to be very popular.
In the past, we've had as long as a four-month waiting list to get into these classes.
Then the oil downturn came, and working in oil and gas suddenly didn't seem so attractive anymore. Enrollment fell sharply, and while the numbers have started to climb again, there's still only 56 students in this mechanical engineering program, which has room for about 100.
Now, I know a lot of petroleum engineer friends of mine that wish they got their bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering.
Michael Young is the director of advanced technology at the Energy and Manufacturing Institute.
Because if you're so specialized in something, if they need that, then you're really popular. But if you're not needing it, you don't have that diversity of portfolio.
Since hitting a low point in May 2016, drilling activity has increased sharply in Texas, which means demand for workers is also up. Ed Hirsch is an energy economist at the University of Houston.
The Permian Basin in Midland, where there are multiple formations that can be drilled and drilled economically, even at these prices, there's a shortage of workers.
But with the skills learned in oil and gas programs like the one at Lone Star College, workers aren't necessarily bound to the energy industry, although it generally pays better than other sectors. Again, Michael Young.
Most of my machining students are being hired by non-oil and gas people right now. They're plastics people. They're aerospace bolt people. They're non-oil and gas manufacturing people.
So even during the oil downturn, those who learned these skills had good prospects for a job. Now the demand for them is up even more, requiring oil and gas companies to step up on recruiting. In Houston, I'm Florian Martin for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.